From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on Election Day 2008. 51% of eligible voters under the age of 30 actually cast a ballot that year, leading Time magazine to declare 2008 the year of the youth vote. The question was, could it be sustained? Were young voters finally engaging on a permanent basis? The only other modern comparison was 1992, when roughly 50% of young voters turned out to vote. But by 1996, that number had cratered to below 40%. Most presidential election years, the youth vote, 18 to 29, is stuck between, well, the mid-30s and the low 40s. Turned out that 2008, the wave would not last. In the 2012 presidential election, youth vote turnout had fallen nearly 10 percentage points. Voters age 18 to 24 especially were largely staying home. Now fast forward to Tuesday of last week, the midterm elections 2014. Only 21.3% of youth voters cast ballots, down from 23% in the 2010 midterm elections. The Washington Examiner declared, quote, "Democrats utterly failed to turn out young voters." This hour, we're asking young voters, why do they vote? Why do so few of their peers vote? What would it take to change that? A couple guests in studio, and we're going to be hearing from a number of people via phone. Let me welcome the guests in studio. Kevin Connell is here, a 22-year-old student at the University of Rochester and the president of the College Democrats at the University of Rochester. Kevin, nice to have you.
Thank you.
And sorry about last week for your party.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about that and more. Fred Stein is here. And Fred, give me a little bit of your background, because you are, unlike Kevin, you're not someone actively involved in campaigns in terms of running campaigns, being involved in those ground operations. Tell me about you.
Yes, I'm actually just very interested in politics. I followed politics since I was young. I actually currently work at a car dealership. I'm actually a car salesman. So I'm a working man that votes, I guess.
All right, working man that votes. Very good. Fred and Kevin in studio, and I want to ask our especially under 30 listeners, and I know there are plenty of you because we hear from you every day, either via phone, but most often via our social media. You can join the conversation at Evan Dawson on Twitter, but this is one of those rare occasions where the host is going to petition to our younger listeners, call us this hour. Talk about why you vote or don't vote, what issues matter to you, and whether you think political leaders are addressing them. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Kevin, I'm going to start with you. It was not a good election year for Democrats.
No, it was not.
I know you've worked on some campaigns. What was it like for you?
Even though we didn't have results, it was a very rewarding experience. We worked particularly closely with Assemblyman Bronson, who represents us in the New York State Assembly. We got involved in phone banking, some canvassing opportunities. We went to the MCYD fair, Monroe County Young Democrats. So shout out to Aaron Gallant, who was successful in running that. Overall, yeah, we didn't have results this year, but nonetheless, being involved, having civic engagement, it was a very rewarding experience.
What brought you into politics to begin with?
Ironically, my staunch conservative Irish Catholic grandmother. I actually graduated high school with the Glenn Beck Senior Superlative Award.
The what?
You get senior superlatives, and I was perceived to be so Republican that I got the Glenn Beck Award.
Was that true at the time?
I don't think it was that extreme, but, you know, I was a registered Republican at the time, and it was because, you know, every time I would come home, she actually lived with us at the time, and it was one of those kind of influence deals where it's been shown that registered voters tend to mimic the behavior of their parents. And so even though my parents weren't, you know, active in politics, she was. And so kind of that's where I would come home and I'd watch Fox News with her, and that's kind of how I got started. And then I got to college, and I found out, you know, that wasn't exactly for me. And now 4 years later, I'm the president of College Democrats. But
would you have predicted 4 years ago you'd be the president of the College Democrats?
No, and most of my peers wouldn't have either. My best friend, Alex Udelson, who has always been a very liberal Democrat, got a big chuckle when I told him the news that I was president of College Democrats. And he said, well, that was full circle. But no, it's been quite a ride, and I've enjoyed every step of the way. And I'm just looking forward to future opportunities to help with local elections and beyond.
Okay, before I get to Freddie's background, I want to ask you if you think you may be a little bit of an outlier, Kevin, just because you're so involved in politics at the age of 22 that maybe you do spend time with people who do vote. Do most of your peers vote?
I don't think so. Even on a campus like the University of Rochester, so an elite liberal arts institution, it was difficult to mobilize young people, whether it was to get them to register to vote. We have a group called CPE, which is a bipartisan political group that actually was quite successful in doing a get out the vote, kind of voter turnout, to get people to register and to explain why. They had the little whiteboards and, you know, I vote for and then whatever your cause. So we're seeing steps in the right direction. But in general, I just think that in the daily lives of young people, politics, by and large, even for people at an elite liberal arts institution, just isn't that prevalent.
Okay. Freddie, at your age, do most of your peers vote?
I would say no. I think it's a mix of different things. I think people, especially our age, think that the best time to vote is during a presidential election year. They feel like that's when their vote counts most. I mean, your vote most directly counts during local elections, you know, during congressman, gubernatorial, all that, because it actually is tallied up by your one vote. And I even ask people, you know, where I work and my friends, hey, did you vote today? Oh, there's an election? Or no, I didn't, you know, I'm not registered, it doesn't really interest me, you know, so no.
What made you interested at such sort of a young voting age to want to be involved in the process?
Well, from a young age, I was interested, you know, from like the age to like 10, you know, I was always interested in the presidents. When I was sick, my mom, you know, the History Channel, the presidents, mm-hmm. when I was sick, every time my mom would put in the tape and I'd watch the entire series. And then from there, it just kind of grew. I started to go to like local events, you know, where people were speaking, and you know, I listened to the news. I always followed the news, started reading the newspaper, and it was just something that was interesting because this is what's going on around us. These are people who, you know, impact our lives, and you know, I would go to museums. I've been to State Capitol a bunch of times, you know, just roaming the Capitol building on my own. You know, it's something that's interesting, but also that's important.
So what we're hearing from Fred and Kevin are two people who are interested sort of through their own devices in the way our government works, the way public policy works, et cetera. And we're going to be exploring how do you get others who are maybe less sort of self-motivated to do that. And I don't know that it's realistic to expect 50%+ of eligible young voters to come out every election, but certainly it's got to change. And before we get to the phones again, what we're talking about are very low youth vote turnout numbers this year, 21.3%. Harvard even did a survey before the election to try to find out who's really going to come out. And 26% of 18 to 29-year-olds said they would definitely vote. And it was 21.3%. But let me ask Fred and Kevin this question. When it comes to the way you talk to your friends, I hear two things right around Election Day. I hear, hey, you've got to vote. It's a civic duty. And then there's what I generally say. I go against that grain. I say, you've got to vote if you've taken the time to inform yourself. If you haven't, you don't feel like you have to vote because I don't think when you get in that ballot booth that you're going to know what to do. So don't worry about it. But I always say, I don't say vote. I say inform yourself and then vote if you want to. What do you tell people?
Well, generally, I ask people if they vote. And I usually tend to stick to it's your civic duty.
Civic duty. Yeah.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up to be informed. I was at Oswego for a little bit at college. And last year there was an election and it was very, you know, minuscule. It wasn't a lot going on, at least, you know, the big, you know, big names, big titles. And I found myself reading the newspaper because, like, I'm going to vote because I want to be a part of this. I think I was at this one polling booth. I think I was one of 10 people that mm-hmm, voted. Mm-hmm. And this was on campus. But I usually tend to say, oh, you know, it's your civic duty.
But I think maybe it goes hand in hand with if you consider voting your civic duty, that you would inform yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so maybe those things are not certainly mutually exclusive. What do you talk to people about, Kevin?
Well, before that, I want to kind of frame the discussion, and we've heard civic duty, which is actually a part of what's called the rational voter theorem. The rational voter theorem is R equals P times B plus D minus C. So D is the civic duty component. P is the probability that your single vote is going to change the outcome of the election, and B is the perceived benefit that you're going to have from that change. And then C is the cost. So P is so minimal that PB, the combination, is basically nothing. So it comes down to civic engagement over cost. And I'm empathetic to young people in particular because we have the least amount of financial security out of anyone. So the cost of voting, you know, Fred was telling me about how rigorous his job in car sales is. In terms of how this is his only day off, and you know, even when he's not at the office, he's getting calls because he's taking them for commission. So the cost tends to be higher for people with lower financial security. So I think that might explain why there is at least one of the explanations why there is lower voter turnout. We don't have the type of, you know, the traditional 9-to-5 jobs where then you get out and you have your car and you can go to a voting site and vote. In terms of what I tell people, on your point about being informed, we actually make it a point to inform people. We have weekly discussions with the College Democrats where we actually will pick a topic, whether that we've covered everything from Ferguson to Ebola, and we kind of frame the discussion with a couple of short videos, and then we talk about the issues, and we try to make sure that everyone who will vote is informed.
Yeah, so that goes hand in hand with voting, is engagement and being informed. And by the way, Kevin is the president of College Democrats at the University of Rochester. I have reached out to College Republicans, and though I didn't hear back from them this time, they're certainly going to be welcome on a future broadcast. I've bent over backwards, if you could see the emails that were flying around last night and this morning, trying to make sure the panel was sort of evenly spread, and it was just one of those things where we had a couple of cancellations. But Fred, even though you may not say that you are a typical Republican, in some ways you lean right, at least on sort of fiscal or economic issues?
Yeah, I tend to lean right, like you said, on fiscal issues. However, well, and we even had this discussion before you started, that many young people who are registered Republicans tend to be that way. And then with social issues, you tend to lean more to the left. I especially think it's that way up in upstate New York. I mean, I feel like maybe versus other places in the country that's how it is. You know, you were talking about your, Kevin, you were talking about your staunch conservative grandmother. I kind of grew up with both sides. Both my mom and dad were totally different. And I tend to lean more to the left. Now, I was young, so it didn't really mean a whole lot. However, I kind of grew up to be leaning more towards the right. A lot of my friends lean more towards the left. But yes, I would call myself a Republican, and I am a registered Republican.
Okay, and so we're trying to see sort of all perspectives if possible. And here is Pew Research with their new poll on social issues, saying young voters 18 to 29 have gotten closer in terms of who self-identifies with different parties. But in terms of social issues, 18 to 29-year-olds are not that split. 18 to 29-year-olds as liberal as ever on social issues. According to Pew, quote, they roundly support same-sex marriage, legalization of marijuana, not just on the medicinal level, and according to Pew, they are more likely than older generations to say they support an activist government. So interesting, but at the same time, Pew finds that 31% of 18 to 29-year-olds now say that they are moderate, not liberal or conservative. That's the highest number ever in the poll, and also a very high number, 50% of youth voters now consider themselves independents, up from 40% 6 years ago. Pew is finding, Kevin, that young voters don't want to be on a team, that they largely say, I don't want to just say I'm a Republican or just say I'm a Democrat, because that feels too much like a team sport, and that I want to go by the issues. And that's happening more than ever. What do you think?
I'd say you're nuts. I mean, honestly,
Careful, Fred may agree more with that trend.
I mean, honestly, the reality is, I mean, despite what you hope to be or not to be on a team, national politics, we have a two-party system, and you're either on a team or you're on the other team. And so, you know, whether, I guess to me, the two parties, they have their individual platforms. One has made their platform to destroy the Obama administration, to dismantle the Affordable Care Act.
Now, hold on. We're not here to debate the politics of it.
Versus, I mean, to me, I can't possibly fathom why young people in particular, if you look at the battle that went on in the House last year over student loan interest rates, we had Republicans attach interest rates to 10-year Treasury notes, and those interest rates, as inflation goes up, will go up to 8% and 9.5%.
All right. So in other words, your response to this question is it does make sense for you as a young voter to be aligned with the party.
Yes.
That you disagree with the trend line that says young voters are wanting to not be identified with one party or the other. For our listeners who are on the phone, every phone line is now filled, which is a great problem to have. We're going to get to the phones in a second. Fred, do you disagree? Are you more with the trend that says, you know, I may be a registered Republican, but I'd rather be a little more loosely affiliated as opposed to being part of a team?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a registered Republican. However, I tend to vote for whoever I feel like is the better candidate, who I feel like really cares about what they're talking about or what they represent their constituents rather than their party. It's tough to find that. And there are a couple politicians out there right now that are in different states that may be in different parties. I say, you know what? I love this person, even if I don't agree with them, just because they really care about, and they'll drop their party for
individual issues. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also, I think that's what's important. I mean, you can lean one way or another, but you shouldn't be afraid to go across the board. And I actually agree with Kevin that young people tend to be more left or right. A lot of times it seems like people are either very informed and they say, this is my opinion because of this, or a lot of people just follow their parents.
Yeah, I think the research bears that out. Here are some numbers, by the way, that should concern Kevin Connell. 2006 midterm elections, 18 to 29-year-old voters supported Democrats 60 to 38. 2008 presidential election year, 18 to 29-year-old voters backed President Obama over John McCain 2-1, 66-33. 2012, youth voters backed Obama over Mitt Romney, but that margin had narrowed to 60 to 37. 2014 midterms, cratering youth voter turnout, and the numbers, here are the numbers. Democrats picked up last Tuesday, 54 to 43. And so what we're seeing is a tightening. And that's why the New York Times is saying the Democrats have to be concerned, especially in battleground states, where North Carolina 6 years ago saw 71% of the youth vote go Democrat, 54% this year. Virginia, 71% 6 years ago, 50% this year. All the trend lines indicate that it is tightening, with one exception: more young voters don't want to be affiliated with any party. So before I get to the phones, any comment on that, Kevin?
I mean, in terms
I'm
of...
I'm not blaming you, by the way. I'm just asking.
I mean, honestly, I don't understand that statistic. Over the course of the Obama administration, we've cut the deficit by more than half. Unemployment is at a six-year low. I don't understand it, but that's fine.
I'm not here to rub salt in Kevin's wounds as a college Democrat president. I'm just pointing out that those are the trend lines, and it's an interesting dynamic. All right, let's bring in some phone calls. This is Will in Geneva. Will, thanks for calling Connections. You are a young voter, Will?
Yeah, that's right. I'm 26 years old. I'm actually a veteran. I just got back from serving in August, so just moved back to New York. I was stationed out in Washington, out in Fort Lewis. So.
All right, Will. Well, first of all, belated Happy Veterans Day, and thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. Just briefly, because, again, I know a lot of people want to weigh in, but you've been listening to the conversation here. Do you choose to identify and affiliate with a party, and do people your age, do your peers vote?
I do. I mean, I am a registered Democrat. I was one time a registered Republican, and I think that, you know, my personal experience with party affiliation does kind of speak to the general, what you're talking about, the trends that we're seeing through youth populations. And I don't know if this is necessarily, you know, I don't know. I think you might want to bracket, some of the, it's a big gap, right? 18 to 29. And I think you see people at different, you know, phases of their life.
Absolutely.
From, you know, 18 to maybe 24 and then 24 to 30 or something like that. So I think there's a different, from my experience of growing up now, when I was, 22 and in college, a lot of my friends voted. Now that I'm a little bit older, I was in the military, we had to deal with absentee, voting and all that. And I noticed, definitely a lower trend of people not wanting to, say they're one party or another. And I think that part of that really goes down to really why Chris there is so confused about, what's going on and why he doesn't believe it or why he doesn't understand it. And I think it comes out a little bit to Democrats and, Democrats and Republicans not really being able to understand their own positions anymore, right? Like we see Democrats champion the Affordable Care Act, right, which came out of the Heritage Foundation, which was, initially started as a conservative think tank. This is going to be something that's really going to be good for the nation, and we've seen the Democrats be the ones who were able to champion it and make it their own thing. So I think there's a lot of confusion within the parties themselves, which has translated to, confusion among the electorate about where do the parties stand, how do I align with them, and who's going to be the most representative party for my, for my feelings. So I think that Democrats haven't really been able to come out this past election cycle. They haven't been able to talk about, they weren't able to talk about, the good things that they did with the Affordable Care Act. They weren't able to talk about the good things that's going on with the economy here in the last couple of weeks that we've seen. They really missed the ball there. They weren't able to get out and talk about, I don't want to say issues because, social issues are another type of thing, but we weren't able to talk about the good things that have been going on in the economy and, the stimulus and all the things that we have done over the last 4 years or the last 2 years, since the Obama administration has come into being, we haven't been able to message on the good things that we've done. So I think that kind of speaks to, why Chris as a...
You mean Kevin, but yeah. Kevin Connell. Go ahead, Will.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
But Kevin. So, I think that speaks to why he was a little confused, and, I think that is representative of the overall trend that we're seeing throughout the parties themselves is that, Democrats and Republicans moving into 2016, what do you take away from the numbers that you're seeing here in 2014? What do you take away with the youth vote that we're talking about specifically? So I think I've heard the report that you mentioned. There's actually a lot of talk about the millennials being a libertarian movement and the youth really being shifted towards this kind of individual rights and a little bit of the don't tread on me type thing, and which is an interesting that in itself is an interesting trend if that's really where the youth is going, because then you could you can guise the libertarian connection as to say, well, it's a part of the conservative, overarching umbrella. So
yeah, and I'm not even sure it is. Yeah, the interesting thing with their will, I think that's a great observation, because Fred here is someone who leans right on fiscal issues but leans left on social issues, and in a very broad description, that could be a libertarian leaning, even though I think libertarian might have, the meaning has been a little co-opted in recent years, but I don't necessarily think that leans either left or right. I'm not sure that has its own, maybe that's why someone like Fred is comfortable voting for someone who impresses him no matter the party. Does that make sense, Will?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think to pin it, to pin millennials as libertarians, obviously that's a little, it's a broad statement. But, I think the trends, yes, I think we're right to, acknowledge that within the youth themselves, we're not seeing, I think that this is it's a different connection than what we were just talking about, to connect youth with Democrats and Democrats with social issues and, the turnout, basically to say that Democrats weren't able to talk about the things that usually get you that get their views out. And I think that Republicans as a whole, you know, I think as a whole, the turnout, the Republicans were able to get their ground game to come out, you know, which the Democrats were champion. It was what was going to swing this election back their way. So I think that the Democrats and the Republicans both have a lot to take away from this. I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, internal evaluation between, you know, within the parties looking ahead to 2016. There's already so much talk, you know, we're still a year before campaigning should really start. And we've already, you know, all we're talking about is who's going to be the next nominees for president.
Yeah. Well, let me jump in and say you could get to have a career as an analyst. I think that's a very interesting take. I want to thank you for the call. And you had Kevin nodding a lot. Will's point that on social issues, there's largely agreement in 18 to 29. And then the question is who's winning the message war on what is happening on the fiscal and economic side. And Kevin is nodding right along with it. And frankly, the Republicans won the message war. Kevin will say they didn't win the substance war. The right-leaning voters will say they did. But again, that's it's a very interesting dynamic. And our phones are just nuts today, which is a great problem to have. Emmanuel and Henrietta. Go ahead, Emmanuel. Thanks for calling Connections.
Hi, thanks. So my name is Emmanuel Williams. I'm a 23-year-old RIT student. And I have never voted in my life, though with the results from the last elections, that will be changing. And I would disagree. I would say that a lot of people my age, people that I know, including myself, have issues aligning with either of the parties. And I think that's because a lot of the contemporary issues we've seen in our lifetime, we've kind of lost faith in both of them. But I would think that, and then that's a reason that I did not vote. Is because I assumed that most people would align with the Democrats and most people my age would have voted that way.
21.3%, very, very low youth turnout last Tuesday. Emmanuel, what issues fire you up, though? What issues fire up you and people your age?
I would say definitely the spending of government money and how taxes are being applied to corporations. I would say that's one of the biggest issues for myself and many of my peers as well.
So the bottom line is that 23 years old, you've never voted. Next time you're voting.
Definitely, yes. And it's mostly because of the elections that were just held and how shocked I was to hear that so few of people my age voted.
Emmanuel,
that really was.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the call, Emmanuel. Calling from RIT, 23 years old. Interesting. Again, our panelists in studio, Fred and Kevin, have been consistent voters, but very interesting to me to hear someone say, look, I thought this was going to go one way, and now maybe you wake up a sleeping bear. That could, we'll see in 2 years if youth vote goes back up. Joe and Hilton, thanks for calling Connections. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi. Yeah, my name is Joe. I'm 22, and I vote in every single election I've been eligible to vote in so far. I want to say that I am not registered under any party. I will never register under any party because, honestly, I don't vote based on partisan issues. And I just want to say I really feel like this discussion is touching on and everything that I've thought about when it comes to youth voting, because honestly, I feel like a lot of people my age, a lot of my friends and family members, the reason they don't vote is because they feel disenfranchised on a lot of these issues.
Which issues, Joe?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Which issues do you feel disenfranchised on?
Well, I think the reason why I feel disenfranchised on a bunch of issues is it's mostly because I don't feel like they're issues anymore. Things like gay rights, that seems very clear to me that there should be equality. Things like women's rights, it seems very clear to me that there should be equality. And the fact that I keep hearing partisan bickering about things like global climate change, which we have clear data on, these are things that shouldn't be partisan issues. These should be things that are clear, and I don't know. That's why I haven't registered as a Democrat or a Republican because I think it's funny to argue about things that seem so simple. If that makes any sense.
But Kevin's about to tell you. Unfortunately, we still have to argue. That's what Kevin's going to say.
Well, no, what Kevin's going to say, what's Kevin's going to say is you should obviously register as a Democrat because
somehow I knew that's where you were going.
Because it's Republicans who are arguing that women should not get equal pay, that there should not be marriage equality, that climate change.
I don't think
does
any Republican has come out and said overtly that women shouldn't get equal pay. I think what you're saying is you believe their policies lead to unequal pay.
Correct.
Okay.
They haven't made it a priority to change the status quo.
Fred, what do you think?
Well, it's funny that, like, gay rights, with Republicans across the board, they totally, this election, they just dropped it. They didn't even discuss it on many elections.
I think they largely are acknowledging they've lost that.
Yes. I mean, this sounds like a libertarian stance, you know, right here, just because I don't want to register. Social issues are this way. I feel like that's, you know.
Yeah. So there's another example. But, Joe, before I let you go, it sounds to me like what you're saying is eventually these issues, whether it's gay rights, climate, et cetera, are not going to be political footballs, and you'd like to focus on other issues within the political realm and not define yourself by issues you think are obvious. Is that right?
Exactly. And I think that it's still important that we have parties for things like, for example, the Affordable Health Care Act. I personally voted with Obama on that issue because I think universal health care is a good idea. But I do see points that Republicans make as well. So I do think that in things like that where it's not clear cut, it's definitely important to have both sides of an issue debating to find out what is the best way to serve the entire electorate. But when it comes to things that are clear cut that we have data on, I don't like hearing arguments about it, and that's exactly why I'm not going to register for any party. Even though I vote in every election, I vote unaffiliated. I'm voting for the issues, not for the party line.
Joe, thanks for the call. And this hour is giving me a little, maybe this is a skewed sample. Maybe the Connections listening audience, which does cover the age spectrum, is more likely to vote. But every phone line has been filled up since we started the hour, which to me is a very, very good sign. Let me bring in Tom Proietti, who is the media scholar in residence at St. John Fisher College and a longtime friend of the program. Tom, I'm a little fired up hearing all these. There's the only open line just got filled up. I mean, every line's been filled, Tom.
Fantastic, Evan. I'm excited for you, but I'm also a realist, and you just said it perfectly. The audience listening to this program is skewed in the wrong direction. I taught at the college level for 44 years, and it never really changed. The only year I ever saw any really significant turnout of students was 2008 with Barack Obama. That was a campaign run directly at the youth vote, knowing that if they could get them out, they could probably win the election.
And they did.
Politicians, by and large, don't pay much attention to young people, not because they don't vote. It's because they don't have money. So the politicians spend their time where the money is. And, you know, if anything, they have a lot of debt. So, and, you know, the other dynamics that are taking place is what I call share of mind. Most students, they have room in their brains for sports and celebrities and gossip. Many of them are involved in fantasy sports leagues. They know everything about the Kardashians, but they really don't know anything about. And they know a lot about music. So, and what's in your brain and your attention span is really totally finite, finitely based. And so they give that up, and at some point they'll become engaged somewhat. But overall, the electorate has been pretty sad, pretty pathetic since the end of World War II. And it's stayed there, and it's gotten even a little bit worse.
If you're just joining us, we're looking at the youth vote turnout. On the midterm elections last week, 21.3% of voters 18 to 29 came out. That was down about 2 percentage points from the midterms in 2010. In 2008, 51% turned out, the highest recorded number. And then in the presidential election of 2012, it was down about 10 percentage points. So it's just not been sustained. And Tom Proietti, one thing.
Let me throw just a couple
sure.
to it, Evan. Most of my students, and at the end of my career, I had many students whose parents I'd had in class, and that most of my students reflect their parents' behavior. So if the parents don't vote, if the parents aren't politically engaged, the student's not going to be politically engaged. And voting is difficult, and for many students who are living off campus, it involves going through an absentee process.
Does it need to be easier, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. I'm astonished that as a nation, We don't, first off, don't have the day off, for one thing. And secondly,
early voting.
It should be a national holiday. And it should be, voting should be required. And if you don't vote, you should do community service. But, you know, you don't want to put me in charge.
Tom, here's another interesting dynamic this hour. The calls have been lighting up all male. And I invited a number of people, a couple of female students who were going to join the program could not. But let me read something that Lena Dunham, who is an actress and an author.
She's the founder of Girls.
Yes, Girls. She sent an email blast out intended for young voters before the midterms. And part of that email included why to vote. Here's Lena Dunham talking to young voters. Quote, "The crazy and depressing truth is that there are people running for office right now who could actually affect your life, particularly your sex life, particularly if you're a woman." She's 26 years old. Does that appeal, again, because we've been talking to two men in the panel here, men on the phone, but when it comes to the young women who you've talked to in class over years,
right,
are these social issues, do they move people to the polls?
No.
People?
It's like, you know, talking to an 18-year-old about those issues is like talking to them about retirement. It's not something they can fathom, envision. It doesn't affect them. And they also don't feel empowered at all. So their single vote, they feel, is completely overwhelmed by their grandparents' vote. So, you know, they feel disenfranchised, and honestly, Washington has not done a good job, not just Washington, Albany, and even local politicians. They just have not done a good job of marketing democracy. We are woefully ignorant when it comes to not just the democratic process. I mean, there is no nation in the world more woefully ignorant about geography than the people of the United States. So if we can't get you interested minimally in civics, why would you vote? Voting's hard work. It really is. It's a pain to go through the process, and it's also a pain to even figure out what the ballot looks like and how it works. And so, you know, most of my students have stayed disengaged. It's much easier to watch SportsCenter.
Tom, before I get back to the phones, let me ask you this to wrap up with Tom Proietti, the media scholar in residence at St. John Fisher College. Stacy writes to us on Twitter, "I'm 34, but have voted in every election since I was 18. It terrifies me that more young people aren't voting and participating." What could change it, Tom? And is it the fault of political leaders, or is it the fault of our parents for raising kids who aren't interested? Is it the fault of young adults who are just not engaged? You know,
yes,
what could change it?
It's all of those things, and it's also, you know we're teaching this thing called the Common Core. There's nothing in the Common Core about the engagement in democracy and the engagement in your government and your civic responsibility. You have to know a lot of facts, but the emotional engagement, the thing that says, the little triggering device that says you should be out there. And by the way, if you were to check Stacy's family, you're going to find out her grandparents voted, her parents vote, they vote. it's going to be, but more likely it's going to be a parental kind of thing, a modeling behavior.
Well said as always, Tom. Thank you for taking the time to join us, my friend.
Thanks, Evan, my friend. Take care.
Tom Proietti joining us, the media scholar in residence at St. John Fisher College, always a sharp mind on media. So before I get back to the phones, in studio, we have Kevin Connell, who is the president of the College Democrats, the University of Rochester. Fred Stein is not. Fred, this is a perfect local panel because Fred is engaged but is a little more open to kind of crossing party lines. Kevin believes choosing a party. For him, it's Democrats, but he believes choosing a party is important. Fred, when you hear about some of these ways that we can get more people involved, it doesn't sound to me like there's one silver bullet that will bring more of your peers out. You're interested. Tom is saying your parents probably were. Your family probably was. Is he right?
Yeah. I mean, from a young age, I was watching the presidential debates, all the debates that I possibly could.
With your family?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I remember the 2004 presidential debate, and that may not seem like so long ago, but I was 9 years old. So, I mean, that is, for me, that's a young age to be exposed to that.
So maybe he's right. I mean, yeah. Certainly modeling that behavior matters.
Yes, and I would agree with that, especially my upbringing, my parents, my grandparents, voting in every election. And I know that a lot of times older people tend to vote more, especially during midterm elections. I don't know. Isn't there a tendency for there to be less Democratic voters out during midterm elections?
I don't know that number offhand, Kevin.
Voter turnout goes down during midterm elections. It has been proven that when Democratic vote, like when voter turnout in general is down, Democrats tend to lose.
That's true. And that's actually Mark Cassini, who is still hoping that today when he gets the numbers that he'll defeat Louise Slaughter. Doesn't look like he will. But he said yesterday on this program, it was a Republican wave on Election Day, but a large part of that was because a lot of Democrats stayed home. Mm-hmm. And so that is certainly an interesting dynamic. All right, back to the phones. Let me get to, boy, I'm trying to stay in order. Every line is filled up. Tim in Rochester. Tim, go ahead.
Hi, Evan. We had conversed a little bit earlier via email, and I'm glad I got on. Full disclosure, I'd like to say that my parents vote. My mom works, or volunteers rather, for the Monroe County Board of Elections. So it, you know, it absolutely, I think, runs in families. I think some of the biggest issues that, for me, somebody who, you know, I'm in my late 20s, I came of age kind of during the Iraq War and during the latter half of the Bush administration. It's something for me. I think there's a lot of fatigue amongst young voters. Personally, I just think that, you know, we've seen, and one of the other callers had alluded to it, we've seen these issues that, you know, to a lot of young people, I think, seem like no-brainers. We've seen them be drummed up and gone back and forth and the infighting and, you know, the partisan politics. And I think a lot of young voters are just disinterested at this point. They don't see a candidate that really, for me, represents the U.S. as the, you know, shining city on the hill that we should be. And it's kind of depressing a lot of the time. So, you know, I turn up and I've voted in every election I've been eligible to, and but I look at the ballot boxes and I just, it kind of hurts my soul a little bit, to be honest. I just don't see anybody that really, you know, for lack of a better term, tickles my fancy. There's nobody that I see that really champions what's important to me and what I think is important to a lot of young voters. And it's hard. It's hard. It really is.
What issues would fire you up? What kind of candidate would move you?
Well, I think, and I think this is a common theme, and I've heard it, you know, somebody who, as an older, I guess, adult student, went back to college and, you know, was exposed to a lot of younger 20-something-year-olds, and only by a couple of years. I think one of the things that is very common to hear is, yeah, I'm a fiscal conservative, but socially I'm quite liberal. And I think that, you know, that obviously doesn't fit in the traditional party lines, and, you know, whether it's Democrat or Republican, and I think it's tough. I mean, you touched on it in the show. Equal pay for women and marriage equality and gay rights, I mean, those should be no-brainers. There should be things that, as a society, that we're all in agreement on that we need to do better with and that we need to improve on, but they're wedge issues. They're things that drive people apart. So, you know, I think really there is no candidate, and, you know, somebody, I think somebody like Rand Paul, and maybe he does kind of embody the, you know, which talked about the young libertarian movement, maybe he embodies that a little bit, where he's maybe more socially conservative or socially liberal, but very fiscally conservative, although he's, you know, softened in recent months on a lot of things, both sides of the aisle. I just, you know, I think those are the things that fire me up. You know, when I see the social issues that are coming up that should be dealt with and they're not, and then the fiscal issues, you know, how we're spending and where we're spending and you know, things like entitlements or foreign distributions, I mean, things like that. It angers me a lot of the time to see that, you know, there is no greater consensus as to how we can do better as a nation. So, and there's no candidate, for me at least, that can embody that. So I think that's one of the most frustrating things for a young voter.
Tim, thanks for the call. And very interesting framing. He mentions Rand Paul. I know Kevin had a bit of a visceral reaction. But you know what? When he mentions Rand Paul in that way, I think you will see young voters take a look at candidates who are not right in that mainstream of parties for that reason. And by the way, I don't think Rand Paul is all that different than Andrew Cuomo in some of those ways, that he's socially perhaps more liberal and fiscally more conservative. I know Democrats have wanted this governor to be more fiscally liberal, but I think realistically they're not that far apart. Am I wrong, Kevin?
Well, I think they're far apart in that Andrew Cuomo didn't partially cause government shutdown last year. The cost tax. I mean, it's ironic that he's a fiscal conservative because it cost taxpayers $12 billion.
He's talking about Rand Paul.
Yes.
Talking about Rand Paul.
Right. Whereas, I mean, yes.
Will voters take a look more at the Andrew Cuomos, who they see doing socially liberal things, who they see as maybe more moderate fiscally? Will they look more at Rand Paul, those kind of candidates who might fit more of those? those boxes?
I mean, I think it was interesting with Teach Out when she ran in the primary against Cuomo, because I know that a lot of my friends were pro Teach Out, and I actually think that I don't necessarily know if moderation is the way to go on this with fiscal issues. I think that the real way to mobilize the base is to actually go with candidates more like Elizabeth Warren, who kind of energize the Democratic base, kind of progressive traditional values in terms of tackling real issues like economic inequality.
Are there any candidates, Fred, out there right now who you'd love to see run for president?
Yes. And Kevin's probably going to.
Go ahead.
You know, I actually did, going back to the governor's race, I actually did vote for Andrew Cuomo this year for almost the exact same, you know, what you were talking about, you know, how he tends to lean, even though there's some things I don't agree with, but you know what, you're going to find that with no matter what, but I reached across the aisle and I did it. I really like Chris Christie. I think he's someone who truly, truly cares about what's going on for his constituents. I remember when Hurricane Irene went through, all the Republicans were giving him flack because President Obama came and he was, basically trying to get money for New Jersey from the federal government.
And not afraid to put his arm around the president.
And he's just basically...
You appreciated
like,
that.
Yeah, and he's like, listen, I'm here for my constituents, not for my party. I mean, I'm trying to protect my people. And even if you watch, he has debates with just people. I remember when teachers' unions, that was a while ago, he was debating teachers in school auditoriums.
Yes, he was.
And I don't know. I think he truly cares about people, which is hard to find.
His campaign, by the way, has put some of those moments on YouTube, and obviously it's finding people, young voters like Fred. Interesting. Let's go to Cleveland. This is Herb in Cleveland. Go ahead, Herb.
Hi, I'm probably your token old codger that's going to call in, and I don't want to get on a soapbox and shake my fist at the youth of today, but I was just want to ask the panel if there was an app for a smartphone for voting, do you think that the young people would embrace that and use that, or do you think that the general malaise would just continue?
It's a great question, Herb. An app for voting, or at least more technological ways to open up voting. Kevin?
I mean, I think that that would eliminate a lot of the costs that are associated with the rational voter theorem. I see that that would take down a lot of barriers to voting in terms of being able to get there, the difficulties with kind of absentee ballots and so on. So I think that that would simplify the process and make voting easier, yeah.
Fred?
I would agree. I mean, if we just look at, you know, just the recent elections with the use of Twitter, I mean, social media, how that has, I think, really changed the way that campaigns are run. I do think that that'd make it easier to access voting. I mean, everyone has a smartphone. I have a smartphone. I'm sure everyone our age does have one.
So
I think that that would help.
More people would vote. I don't want to speak for Herb because we're starting to get some dissonance on his phone, so we had to cut it off. But I wonder if Herb would say, that's great. Hopefully more people will do it when technology makes it a good way to do it. But goodness gracious, no more excuses. Let's get out to the polls anyway. I wonder if Kevin would agree to that too. All right, let's get a couple more quick calls here. We're starting to lose time here. This is Herman in Brighton. Go ahead, Herman.
Hi. I used to do exactly what Fred does, picking candidates to vote for without regard to party affiliation, but in the last few years, I hardly ever vote Republican anymore. But my question is, Fred earlier mentioned that young people of whatever party are reasonably close in their opinions on social issues. They're not very far apart. Now, I think that the biggest threat to the future of young people is climate change. Why is it that we can get consensus among young people on gay rights and marijuana and so on, I have nothing against those issues, but it's a much bigger threat to a lot more people and to the future, especially of young people who are going to have to bear the costs and the burdens and of having to deal with this issue and mitigate the effects. Why can we not have consensus there among young people of both parties? And you know, I'm sure that the vast majority of Republican politicians and spokesmen are either deniers or, they're against doing anything about it. So could you, I'd like to have especially Fred comment, but both of you, you comment.
And we only got about 30 seconds apiece. Go ahead, Fred.
I just want to say I think it's harder for people my age to actually see climate change at the moment. A lot of these topics, you know, like marriage equality and all that directly affect us. And although this will affect us at some point, it's not doing it at the moment. I think a lot of people are in the now, at least my generation, what's going on
right now. I
think
that's a very honest assessment. Kevin?
For the sake of time, I completely agree with Fred.
Kevin's polished to run for office already. Look at that. I want to thank, by the way, for those who called and couldn't get through, it's just absolutely slammed with calls this hour, and I'm heartened by that. I'm glad to see that because as we discussed the low youth vote turnout, I think there's a lot of reasons for hope, but also you're seeing a lot of the barriers, why young people are feeling like they don't want to come out. So maybe we'll see a change, and we all hope it will. Fred, thank you for taking the time to come in and share your perspective.
Thank you.
Kevin Connell, thank you for taking the time. Nice to meet you here.
Thank you.
And again, we're going to continue this conversation, I promise. This is just the start of many conversations on the value and the importance of the youth vote, no matter what day of the election, no matter whether it's a presidential year or not. Short break, and we're looking at TEDx Rochester next hour. Stay with us.